Wusstest du, dass TK Maxx immer die besten Markendeals hat? Duftkerzen für alle, Sportoutfits, stylische Pieces für dein Zuhause, Designer-Handtasche, check, check, check. Bei TK Maxx findest du große Marken zu unglaublichen Preisen. Psst. Im Onlineshop auf tkmaxx.de kannst du rund um die Uhr die besten Markendeals shoppen. TK Maxx, immer der bessere Deal im Store und online.
Wieder live von ihrem Toyota-Partner mit diesem Leasing-Auftakt. Der neue Toyota Yaris-Hybrid. Ab 179 Euro im Monat, ohne Anzahlung. Seine Sicherheitsassistenten laufen mit und ja, ab ins Netz mit voller Konnektivität. Auch am Start die Toyota Team Deutschland Sondermodelle. Ohne Anzahlung geht's in die nächste Runde. Jetzt los sprinten zu ihrem Toyota-Partner.
Welcome to the Sport Passion Podcast. And here is your host, Lars Marendorf.
Hello and welcome to the Sport Passion Podcast. This is a special episode of the Sport Passion Podcast. I have Tel Pinchevsky as a guest. Tel is the producer and director of the NHL Backstory Podcast. I'm sure some of you have listened to that already. It's a podcast series that started with a special episode about the origins of the Anaheim Ducks, the movie there, Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, and all the stuff involved to get the franchise to Anaheim. And then there's been a second episode posted just recently, which is Tales from the Deadline, which is about deadline trades and about stories around the NHL deadline, but there's also much, much more involved. There's the Lindros trade, there's the Wayne Gretzky trade, Ray Bourque and his story. So a lot of things, a lot of stories, a lot of information around the NHL trade deadline there and that second episode of NHL Backstory Podcast. And then Tel is also someone who's written a book about players coming from East Europe to the NHL when there was the Cold War still going on. He's got a lot of other projects planned. He's talking about some of them. He's talking about how it got to the production of the NHL Backstory Podcast. And I think it's a real fun interview. And thanks a lot for Tel, and to Tel if he's listening to this as well. And yeah, enjoy the interview with Tel Pinchevsky, producer and director of NHL Backstory Podcast. So usually I have guests that are players or that are people who are covering teams on a day-by-day basis, but I'm honored and happy to have someone who has reached into the history of the NHL with a production by the league, the NHL Backstory Podcast. So I'm happy to have Tel Pinchevsky on. Tel, first of all, great to have you on the show. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
And my first question would be, where are you located? I didn't ask you that before we started the show. Where are you located right now?
Where are you? I'm actually in Los Angeles right now.
Okay.
So, so I previously worked in New York, where I covered the league pretty extensively for a while. And then before that, I'm originally from Montreal, so I actually grew up about a 15-minute walk from the old Forum. So I was very fortunate to live near all the history that was going on there when I was, you know, young child. It was fun. It was a fun childhood, especially if you liked hockey, which I did, fortunately. So,
yeah, I mean, that's a great place to have, to grow up there and with all the history with the Canadians in there. So I can imagine that was a great period of time. You are also, I mean, when I prepared for the show, I searched about stuff around the NHL Backstory Podcast, but I also searched, obviously, about you, and I ran into or found a book you wrote, which is, I think it's Breakaway, is it called? A book.
That's right.
About players from the East European part when there was the Cold War who fled to North America. I haven't read the book, but it's on my list, so... Before we start with the Backstory Podcast, just could you just put in a couple of sentences, what is in that book and how did you come into the idea of writing that special book about those guys?
Of course. So I was, it's called Breakaway. Like you said, it was published about 10 years ago. It was acquired by HarperCollins. And it's a book kind of, like you said, about the Czechoslovakian and Soviet hockey players who defected during the Cold War. So they illegally left their country to come to North America to play in the National Hockey League. So the world was a very different place back then, although I guess some things have kind of returned in a way back to that time in history, although we don't need to get into all that. But yeah, it was a time where there were all these incredible hockey players who were winning Olympics and world championships for what was then known as the Soviet Union and Czechoslovakia, and they were not able to come to the National Hockey League. So this is a book, you know, I was always intrigued by that. When I was growing up in Montreal, I once was out when I was a child, and I remember I saw Peter Svoboda, who is a player for the Canadians, yeah. And he had defected. And I was so young, I didn't even know what that meant. But I remember telling someone in my family, I saw Peter Svoboda today. And they told me the story. I didn't understand. And then I was always fascinated by that. So then eventually, as I got older and became a reporter, I was working at the NHL at that time as a reporter for NHL.com and started doing some research and put together all these stories and spoke with Slava Fetisov and the Stastny brothers and Peter Nedved, Peter Klima, Michael Pavanka. You know, we interviewed all the players, interviewed probably about 50 different players, coaches, executives, interpreters, spoke with Lou Lamorello about how he brought Fetisov and Kasatanov to New Jersey. Yeah. This was just a crazy period in hockey, in the National Hockey League. You know, these players, if they were caught trying to escape, they would have definitely been thrown in prison and their hockey careers would be over. So the stakes were very high. They often left their family behind and did not know when they would see their family again. So they're fascinating stories. I mean, the book is still available. I would recommend downloading the ebook. It's the more affordable way to read it. Yeah. And yeah, it's called Breakaway. I'm still passionate about it. I'm actually working on a film right now that's loosely based on the book as well, where we interviewed some people who had defected. So yeah, it was a fun project. Thank you for mentioning that.
Okay, so that's definitely something I'm gonna look into the future.
I describe it as James Bond and Slapshot together.
Okay, yeah. Well, that sounds definitely interesting there. Yeah. But there are other parts in NHL history, and the NHL started a podcast series, I think it was last summer, with which is called NHL Backstory Podcast. And the first episode is called Quack, Quack, Quack. It's the story of the Anaheim Ducks movies, but also the story of the Anaheim Ducks franchise. But before we go into that episode, who had the idea to start something like that? Because I'm a big fan of the ESPN 30 for 30 films, but also there's also a podcast series. I don't know right now if they have continued that, but there's some great work in there. So I can imagine with Anaheim linked to Disney and that backstory, maybe there was some connection to people who did something for the ESPN 30 for 30, or who was the person or who were the persons who had the idea to create something for the NHL there?
Yeah, so there's a bit of a story there. I mean, we all love the 30 for 30s are fantastic, obviously. And the first one they did was about the Wayne Gretzky trade, yeah, which is a really good one. So I used to work at the NHL, as I said, and then I left. I moved out with my family to California, and I started covering the NHL primarily for the New York Times and ESPN. And then I started switching away from the more traditional print and online media and started producing content for like films and television and podcasts. And then eventually I came back to the NHL and we began discussing ideas we could work on together. that were sort of, you know, like the similar kind of narrative storytelling concept about telling stories about the history of the NHL and the history of the game and getting into the, some of the fun storytelling aspects of that. So what we came up with was this concept, NHL Backstory, which, as you mentioned, we launched last summer. It's a narrative storytelling series, audio series, in which each episode kind of digs into a different component or aspect of the NHL or of hockey. And so the way we launched it last summer, it was actually a collaboration with ESPN. You mentioned ESPN and Disney. So at the time, ESPN was producing a film about the same topic, about the Mighty Ducks and how the films were made and became a team, a hockey team. So the first episode, which premiered last summer, was a collaboration between myself and our team at the NHL with the ESPN folks who were producing the film. And we kind of helped each other out to make both the film and the podcast. So that was a lot of fun. And that was, you know, that was an opportunity to interview actors from the film. You know, Michael Eisner, who was the head of Disney at that time, was involved in the film. We spoke with we spoke extensively with Steve Brill, who wrote the script for the original Mighty Ducks movie. We actually had an opportunity to skate with him and his daughter at the Honda Center in Anaheim, where, you know, I mean, you could see how surreal it must have been for him. This is someone who wrote a script for a film thinking, oh, I don't know if they'll ever make this. And then 20 years later, he's skating in an arena that was named after the script that he wrote. So that's where it started, is this collaboration with ESPN. The film is called Once Upon a Time in Anaheim. It's available on the ESPN or the the ESPN app in North America. I'm not quite sure where you can watch it in Europe.
It could be. I've started to look for it today. I think it's, if you have the, in Germany, it's the Disney Plus, which is a streaming device for Disney. So I think that's going to be in there. I haven't seen it. So that's
awesome. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It was great to collaborate with them, that group on the film. And then they helped us tremendously with the audio component, the podcast, which came out at the same time during the Stanley Cup Finals last summer. And they're two different things. The podcast and the film are kind of different. They complement each other very well. And so then, so that was the first episode of Backstory. And then from there, we had the off season. We took a little break. We started discussing more ideas where we wanted to take the Backstory concept, you know, what direction we wanted to take it in. So we're now currently producing new episodes, which is very exciting. We just, about a week after the recent trade deadline, we released a new episode, which is called Tales from the Deadline. And it's about, as you can tell, fun stories from the NHL trade deadline, as well as just fun stories about trades. NHL trades in general. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, for me, was it planned that it was with the ESPN together, just the release with the film? Was that the reason why you guys decided on, okay, that's going to be the first topic because we can cross promote it with the film in there?
Correct. Yeah, that was the plan originally. So first of all, it was great because it would allow us to combine our resources. So by kind of having two teams working together, it made it easier for each of us to complete our respective projects. And so that was great. And we were able to kind of help promote each other's work as well. And there's not a lot I can say about it at this point, but there's a potential that we might be doing something very similar with ESPN this summer as well. But I can't really say anything about that yet.
And what I heard was also the trailer. There's a short trailer. I think it's about 2 minutes, a short trailer, episode zero or whatever it's called. And there were some other topics in there as kind of like a teaser. For example, the glowing park is in there, I think. And there's the Michigan, the story about the Michigan move there as well. Do you guys have, like, you talked about you're kind of like now trying to find the next topic and the next direction. Do you have like, okay, this is probably those five topics are topics we want to have in the next 2, 3, 4 years, and then we select other things in between? Or is it just that you go episode by episode? Because I, for me, it was okay. There's a trailer. There are a couple of topics in there. So as I mentioned, the ESPN 3430 podcast, they have like a series. So I imagine it would be like a series where you have, I don't know, for every 2 weeks for 5-6 episodes, you would have like a podcast. But it was, you had the podcast last summer. Now you have one for the trade deadline. Is there any sort of schedule or planning for the next month?
We're still figuring out the schedule. I don't think it'll be every 2 weeks because the team is still, the team we have working on it is not that big. So, and they actually do tend to take quite a lot of work to put these together. You know, the most, they're both, I think the first two episodes are both about 50 minutes long. So they're kind of, they are a little bit long. So we're still putting the schedule together. We're trying to kind of tie it to the NHL schedule. So ideally, we'd have one, you know, that would maybe, you know, we just had one that came out during Cup Final, the day trade deadline, and then maybe we'd have another one like last summer that came out with during the Cup Final. We're still devising the exact schedule. I don't think it's necessarily going to be the kind of thing where like, every month you're going to see a new episode on the same day every month, because I think it's a little too complicated at this point to put something together. Maybe the more we do it, the more we'll figure out how to have a more regular schedule. But the hope is to have some announcements in the next few weeks about when there will be new episodes this summer, and then hopefully into next season. But we'll make sure you know about that once we have that information.
You talked about the effort to put together an episode of about 50 minutes. And it's not, I mean, when I produce my podcast show, sometimes I talk for about 50 minutes and it's just me talking about a topic. And it's fine because you are just one single person. But I can imagine with making all the appointments for the different people, for example, the latest episode, you got Bill Guerin, you got a general manager in there who's still working or who's working right now. You got people in there who are out of the league, like Ray Bourque, who's talking to you. So there's a lot of schedule finding to be done and a lot of cutting to be done. How long, if you should add it up to, let's say, a work day, how many days would you estimate does it take to produce one of those episodes?
Wow, that's difficult to say. I haven't really kind of crunch the numbers because it varies. Because you know, the last 2 weeks before we complete it are very, very busy. But then you know, there's a month before that where we're working on it, but the schedule is not quite as busy. So I'd say like the 2 weeks before, it's an everyday thing. Whereas for I'd say about a month or 6 weeks before that, it's kind of more of an every other day thing. So I never quite broke down how many hours it took to make the 1 hour of programming. I'm not quite sure. That's a good question. I'll have to kind of figure that out. But like you said, there are different things that go into making it. It can make it simpler or more complicated. You know, you mentioned Bill Guerin, you know, that's an NHL executive. He's very busy. It can be hard to get him, but the Wild have an in-house podcast studio in their facility. So they said, well, can we just record him? You can interview him remotely, and we can record him in our facility and then send you that audio. That was very convenient. You know, to talk to someone like Peter Pocklington, for example, the former owner of the Oilers, who's retired, and he's an older gentleman and he's not exactly someone who knows a lot about technology. Although he is quite busy, I will say he's very busy. He's not just sitting around all day. He has a lot going on. But, you know, getting him for 20, 30, 40 minutes to record him was a bit more complicated. So, but, you know, we find different ways to make it work. You know, Jay Snyder, who used to run the Philadelphia Flyers, he's in the episode. He has his own little studio in his house, and he offered to record himself in his home. So occasionally you'll work with someone that has the equipment required to just do it very easily, but sometimes it's more difficult. You know, Ken Holland, we interviewed while the Oilers were traveling on the road, on a road trip, you know, so we had to find him and get him and make sure he had the time. So it's interesting. It's just sometimes, oftentimes just setting up the interview is a lot more complicated than recording it or dealing with any of the technology.
Yeah, it reminds me of the process I have when I want to interview players, because you contact the media department there, and then you exchange the mails, then you find a certain time frame. And some of the players, sometimes they get set down in, like you said, in a podcast studio somewhere in the facilities of the club. Or sometimes it's just, okay, yeah, here's the phone number, call the player, and he'll do it, I don't know, while driving from the rink or to the rink or whatever. So it's different for each and every person. You had a lot of great guests so far, only in those two episodes. Was there one guest that surprised you by the way he was to deal with? I don't know if you're doing the interviews yourself or if you're always part of the interview, but was there someone where you were surprised by how, I don't know, how loose he was, how easy it was to talk to him?
Wow. I was involved in just about all the interviews. There were a couple of exceptions. And when we were working with ESPN, of course, on the Ducks episode, a lot of it was just them doing it. You know, I think, it was an interesting one. And he's someone I've known for a little while. We never discussed any of this stuff. But I spoke with Bruce McNall, the former Kings owner, for the Mighty Ducks episode, because he helped the Mighty Ducks come to Anaheim.
He had him in the trade episode as well regarding the Gretzky trade, I think.
Correct. Yeah. So he's someone who, of course, is based out here in California. I've known him a while. And, you know, he's had a really fascinating life. You know, he brought Wayne Gretzky to Los Angeles. I mean, that's his legacy. That's a huge, huge thing. He bought the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League with Wayne Gretzky and John Candy. He went to prison for a while. I mean, I found out that we didn't talk about him going to prison for the episode of NHL Backstory, but I found sitting down with him and we sat in person, actually in my office here, because we have a podcast studio here. So he came here and he was happy to talk about anything. There was nothing you could ask him that he wouldn't discuss. And I think that's, you know, sometimes it's nice to talk to older people because they've reached a point in their life where they don't care anymore. You know what? I'm old. I have nothing to hide. I'm just going to share whatever you want to know at this point. So that's always fun. And you mentioned Bill Guerin. Bill Guerin might be one of the most hilarious people, you know, in hockey. I mean, that's someone, no matter who he's talking to, he has some funny comment or a joke or a story or something like that. Which for someone who runs an NHL franchise, you'd think they'd be a little more serious. But I think he takes his job seriously, but he doesn't take himself too seriously, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, you saw that at the NHL draft last year in Nashville, where he referenced, I think, was Tootsie's or whatever location that was where they spent the week. And unfortunately, I didn't meet him. And my background is in Stockholm, where they had the Global Series.
Great.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to, I think the media wasn't able to talk to him there. He was not scheduled for anything big there. So not able to get him on the mic there. But how was Timo Soleni? Because from everything I've seen and heard, either be it a podcast show, be it like if you watch the Sandbaggers where he plays golf, he seems to be the coolest. And I mean, you mentioned older people don't care about what they talk and are just relaxed. And he seems to be like the coolest guy on the planet. He scored so many goals. He was such a great person on the ice, and he seems to be the same off the ice. So how was
Tom? Yeah. So I was actually not there for that interview, but because I was involved in the project, I got to watch everything he said. And they could have made a whole film just on the things he said that were not in that film. He's just so funny and just such an incredible personality. I mean, I feel like we touched on it a little bit in the podcast episode in Backstory, where I think some people don't quite understand how iconic he is in Finland. Yeah. I mean, in that country, he's got to be one of the most famous athletes in the history of that country, like a true icon in his home country. But just an incredible personality, very laid back, you know, I think he's at the point now where he's probably lived in California maybe longer than he lived in Europe, you know. So I think maybe that's kind of rubbed off on his personality a little bit. Just so laid back, so funny. You know, I guess he has a film coming out. I don't know the story
there. Yeah, with Brett Hall. I saw the trailer.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw the trailer. It looks funny. I'll watch it. I don't know anything about it. I'll watch a movie with Tamas Solani and Brett Hall. But yeah, he's. I think when you're talking about the all-time personalities in the history of the NHL, he's definitely up there. He's definitely up there, which is great because he's also such an incredible player. You look at his numbers from when he played, and he achieved everything pretty much there is to achieve in the game. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, just his rookie season, the record there, I think probably will stand forever. I mean, we're talking about Matthews breaking 70 maybe this year, but 76 as a rookie is...
As a rookie? Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You mentioned that you guys are working on some stuff. Is there anything where you can, like, say that there are some things planned? I mean, I mentioned the trailer. Is there something where you can give us a hint about maybe some future project? You mentioned maybe your breakaway book, but that's more like you're planning to do that as a documentation, as a movie, or is it something where there might be a podcast?
Yeah. No, that's not involved with that. That's not involving the NHL, that project. That's through my own production company. I can't reveal but it is a documentary film. I'll hopefully by like this summer maybe have a little more information about that to share. As far as the other episodes, you know, you mentioned the trailer and there was mention of the Michigan and
Glowing Puck was there, I think.
And Glowing Puck, yes. And those are two that we've done a lot of research into and spoken with a lot of people about. We can't confirm either of those. We're basically, because there's a lot of moving parts, we prefer not to announce the topic until like the week before, typically. So unfortunately, I don't have a lot of information to share about what to expect in future episodes. I mean, the only thing I can definitely share is that, you know, it'll be a lot of fun. They'll be kind of our signature reporting in terms of talking to the people who were there, you know, getting all the first person perspectives, getting kind of the fun, humorous anecdotes, and bringing the fans kind of behind the scenes a little bit, give them a broader perspective of what goes into these specific aspects of the game, you know. So I can't reveal much more about what those topics will be. There's potential to have a similar collaboration with ESPN that we had last summer, but I can't really go into that either. But yeah, all I can say that it will be fun. I think if you download the episodes and listen to them, you'll see that there is a signature style to what we do, and that is going to be in every episode that we do.
There's just been the general managers meeting in Florida, and what they talked about there is that they plan a documentation with, I think it's Amazon, to do something like a behind the scenes 10 to 12 players. You're following the league for a long, long time. Who would be, if you look at the players right now, who would be, if you select two or three players out of the league right now, who would be the players you would like to get to know more through such a documentary?
Yeah, that's very. I heard that news as well. That sounds really exciting. I think it would be, you know, I know NHL has been releasing some features with Amazon in Canada recently, and this would be a phenomenal project. So of course, you know, we're all wondering, well, who would I want to see? I think, I think Marc-Andre Fleury, especially if maybe if it's his last season, wouldn't that be incredible? What to follow someone that personality in potentially his final season before retiring, that would be fantastic. I was thinking Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
Or Marchand, excuse me. I'm from Quebec, so I still call him Marchand. But anyway, there was a video I saw online of him. I guess I forget who it was or who they were playing, but someone pushed him over after the
Toronto. That was Toronto.
Was it Toronto? I don't remember who he went after, but he was hot. I mean, he was not happy. Yeah. And that was a great clip. That was a phenomenal clip. And just everything about, I mean, you know, listen, he's a very divisive player, obviously, for a lot of reasons. But at this point, you have to respect what he's achieved in his career, of course. Incredible player. And I think that would be fun. And just to have not only that, you know, him, his style, his personality, the captain of an original six team, one of the better teams in the league. I think you have to go to the marquee names, the McDavids, the Austin Matthews, the Nate McKinnon. You know, I think I'd love to see sort of like a role player. Like some of the more fun characters are like a Jordan Martinook in Carolina, for example. You know, someone who's not the big name, but everyone on the team loves him. He plays an important role. And has like a big personality, and of course Matthew Tkachuk. I think you got to. He's another star. He's another. You know, I was just working on a project.
The two of them,
or both brothers. Yeah. Maybe do both brothers. You know, I there's so much. Like there's so much. Yeah, it makes my whole mind race because there's so many great possibilities. I know, kind of the criticism of NHL players for a while has been, well, they don't really express their personality. They don't share very much about themselves. I kind of think that has started changing in the last few years, you know? Like, I was actually just working on a separate project in Florida a few weeks ago, and we were at the Panthers' new they have a new practice facility there, which they're still building. But so the team is practicing there.
Opened in the GM meeting. They opened it a couple of days ago.
Right. Yeah, so the team was practicing there, and Roberto Luongo, who I think is about to turn 44 years old, was in full equipment practicing with the team. I'm not suggesting get Roberto Luongo in the show, although that could be a lot of fun. But just like, you know, a 44-year-old legend who's now an executive with the team wearing all his old equipment, all his old gear in full practice. You know, he was going full speed with the team in a practice at their new practice facility. I mean, it's just there's so many great. Listen, I'm biased. I grew up right next, you know, right near the Montreal Forum. I love the sport. I used to work at the NHL. I've covered it for a long time. I'm obviously a big fan, but I think it would be so much fun. There's a lot of great potential stories to explore there. It's just obviously something we're trying to do with Backstory as well.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Marc-Andre Fleury. He was in Stockholm, and just I went to him and asked two or three questions, and what I just found. But it's something that I found with a lot of hockey players. When you go out, you introduce yourself, you have a like a serious question. They put thought into it. They give an honest answer. They tell you something they think. They try to make it. Sometimes they try to make it funny, but it's always something where they put in some knowledge. It's not for me. Usually, it's not like a yes or no answer. So, like you said, I think that a lot of players now, they've learned that they have to entertain. And I think that one thing that still has to change a little bit is the old guard has to realize that it's not something bad if a player expresses himself, but it's growing the game because the times have changed. Like, for example, if you have like...
Definitely.
The criticism, we talked about the Michigan, the criticism about players doing the Michigan. I understand that it's old school and it might embarrass the goalie there. But on the other hand, it gets clicks, it gets people to look at it, and it grows the game. And you might not like it, but the game has changed. So that's something where I think that the league in some ways has to change. And what you guys are doing, and maybe the future project with Amazon is something that might change that as well. So it's a great process.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in the YouTube generation now, right? So we want to see fun highlights. You know, and I do think, you know, look, I think maybe Connor McDavid doesn't have the big personality, but his game has a big personality. He's going out there every night doing things that none of us could ever do. And the fact that he's putting on a show, you know, he might not be, you know, telling all these jokes and being a funny guy with the media necessarily, but his game is big. I think the players, whether it's through their personalities off the ice or their personality on the ice, they understand, yeah, this is entertainment. People want to be entertained, you know, and I think the players get it. I think so. Like when I was at the NHL, so I covered the New York Rangers for 2 years when I was with NHL.com. So I spoke with Henrik Lundqvist all the time. And he was not necessarily, I mean, an incredible player, obviously, but he was not someone who was big, you know, loud. He's kind of more of a quiet guy, but he did understand that, okay, people are coming here to talk to me every day. They're asking me questions. I'm going to actually give them thoughtful answers. Yeah. I'm going to think about my response and then answer their questions instead of just giving them some, you know, some boilerplate, very vanilla, you know, kind of like a practiced answer, like a, you know, just paint by numbers. Okay, here's your answer. I'm not going to really think about it very much. And he was always great with that. And you know, that was I think huge for someone who is an iconic player on a big franchise. That team at that time, one of the better teams in the league. They're still one of the better teams in the league. But he understood that, you know what, when people come and talk to me, I need to give them something. I can't just ignore them, you know. And that's why, that's part of the reason I'm not surprised that, I don't know if you've had a chance to see him on Turner here in America, yeah. But I think he's been great. I think he has really transitioned very well into television in his second language. It's not even his first language. And I'm not surprised that he's so good at it, because he gets it. He has that personality.
Yeah. We do get, I call games for Swiss TV, and we do get the international feed. And the thing is, we don't have the, we don't get the commercials. So in the in-between periods, we have the international feed. And if there's TNT on it, and if he's on there, I mean, I watch the panels there. So they give some information there as well. They analyze some of the highlights, so I can use that in the broadcast after that in the next period. So he's great in there. Mm-hmm. You realize that he knows that this, I mean, especially now that he's not playing anymore, that it's a show, and they want to grow the game and they want to entertain. And that's something that I think it's starting to change. Like when you watch Connor Bedard, I think it was in Florida when he scored the one goal, and he just looked into the crowd and he made like kind of like the shrug and said, hey, what are you going to do about it? And it's just great. I like that. You entertain the fans.
I enjoy it.
It's just so much fun, those young players, and hopefully they'll continue. Tal, it's been fun talking to you. I'm sure that we could go on. Is there one thing that you would like to notice my listeners, the viewers, on something that you're planning to do? You mentioned a couple of projects. Is there something that might be coming out that we haven't talked about yet? In the near future, where people can see or hear some of your work?
Yeah, well, the main thing is NHL Backstory. I hope all your listeners take an opportunity to listen to it and enjoy it. I think hockey fans and more casual fans as well will both enjoy it. The only other thing I can talk about, this does not involve the NHL, but my company and a partner we're working with, we actually are currently producing a film about the Hartford Whalers.
Oh, man.
So we recently were speaking with Paul Maurice. That's why I was at the Panthers practice facility. We were there to meet with him. We spoke with Ulf Samuelson. We've spoken with Kevin Dineen. We have a number of former, players and owners and coaches from the team. That's not going to be a bit, these projects take a long time.
Yeah.
So it won't really be ready for a while. We have a broadcast partner in the United States who will be broadcasting the film. I can't share that information yet. I don't know when or where it will be available in Europe, but maybe that's something we can discuss in another episode sometime.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Thanks a lot for coming on the show. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
Pleasure to get some insights there. And yeah, maybe we can talk in the future as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me know. Be fun.
Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
Wieder live von Ihrem Toyota-Partner mit diesem Leasing-Auftakt. Der neue Toyota Yaris-Hybrid. Ab 179 Euro im Monat. Ohne Anzahlung. Seine Sicherheitsassistenten laufen mit. Und ja, ab ins Netz mit voller Konnektivität. Auch am Start die Toyota Team Deutschland Sondermodelle. Ohne Anzahlung geht's in die nächste Runde. Jetzt los sprinten zu Ihrem Toyota-Partner.
Wusstest du, dass TK Maxx immer die besten Markendeals hat? Duftkerzen für alle? Sportoutfits? Stylische Pieces für dein Zuhause? Designer-Handtasche? Check, check, check. Bei TK Maxx findest du große große Marken zu unglaublichen Preisen. Psst. Im Onlineshop auf tkmaxx.de kannst du rund um die Uhr die besten Markendeals shoppen. TK Maxx, immer der bessere Deal im Store und online.
Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.